It's a pleasure to be here again tonight and to see each and every one of you. Let me remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I want to commend the brethren once again for the reading of the scripture and the singing and the prayer. And I must really commend the brethren, because they talk about you black folk, for being on time, amen, and for starting on time, okay? You on CP time, Christian people time, tonight. And that must be, you must be commended for it. And I also love the way the brothers work together, and I watch them getting things done. And I want to commend you for that and appreciate you so much for that. Once again, we're delighted to stand here before you and bring you greetings from 501 East Trinity Lane. And I want to leave you with something, hopefully, that will cause us to do better today than we have done on yesterday. The passage read in your hearing is taken from Proverbs 15. Notice the 16th verse. It isn't very long, but when you look at it, it says a lot. The Bible says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Better it is to have little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You've heard the sayings, you can give a person the moon and they're not satisfied. It doesn't matter what you want to do or try to do. You have people who have two schools of thought, those who cups are always half empty, and those who cups are half full. Basing our thought on this particular passage, I want to talk about being content. Being content. Because the wise man of old has stated, it is better to have a little with the fear of the Lord than to have great treasure and trouble. A true story of a friend of mine who worked in Murfreesboro, and they all give their dollar each week to play the lottery. One day, a co-worker failed to show up. Later on that day, while listening to some show, that person's voice was on the radio. He had hit the lottery and hadn't been seen since. So there was no way he was going to show up to work. He just won 80-something million dollars. So I asked my friend, "Well, where is he now? What is he doing with all that money, with all that wealth?" You know where he is right now? In a crazy home. The word is, when he got that money, he left Tennessee and went back home up north, and he was so worried that somebody would take all of his money, he literally lost his mind. I'm like, I wish I'd have known him. He could have given it to me. Played the lottery for years, they say.
and bingo,
get the lottery, not able to use a penny of what he got. Do you know why people play the lottery and things like that all the time? Do you know why? We're not content. We're not content with the thing that God has given us already. We have a house. We want a bigger one. One day I had a friend that moved into another neighborhood, and he was all puffed up, chest all out. He's bragging about where he lived, and one day he said, "Kai, I don't know why in the world I did that. I didn't need any more room. My note is bigger, my light bill is more, my water bill's gone up. All I have are more headaches." And he's mad at him because he had no reason to leave the first house to begin with. He was not content with what he had. So the question tonight is, what kind of attitude should the child of God have? What kind of spirit should we have about life, or in general, in respect to what God has given us? I think we can find the answer concerning life's troubles and questions from his word. We learn as Christians then what God has blessed us with to be content. Primarily speaking, the word content means or signifies to be sufficient. God has granted me enough. To be content means to be possessed of sufficient strength. By definition, the word content means to be strong. It means to have enough for a thing. God has given me enough in this life to carry on. In doing so, it means that we have enough of. We can ward off anything that comes our way, because I am content with what God has given me. To be content is like they were told in Luke chapter 3 and verse 14, to be content with your wages. You have sufficiently been paid. So don't worry about it. Don't quarrel about it. Have you heard somebody apply for a job, get the job, and then they're still upset because they don't make enough money? You know how much you're going to get when you started on the job. But we're not content. You can find the word content, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 12, 13, concerning a Christian who has an unbelieving spouse. The text says, if they are content to remain with you, the Bible says, don't put them away. If they are content. If they are satisfied. The question is, are we satisfied in life with what God has given us? I know we find from the scriptures the attitude proper that we should have as Christians and children of God, where we learn to be content. Paul, the grand old apostle in Philippians chapter 4, in thanking those at Philippi for more than one occasion supporting him and his work. One reason for this grand old letter was to thank them for their support time and time again. And in writing this particular letter, before he closes the pages of that letter, Paul says, I've learned the lesson that I'm going to share with you. I've had situations when I've been in want. I've had situations that I've had. But he said in verse 11 of Philippians chapter 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, or I learned in whatsoever state I am. Amen. Paul said, therewith to be content. Amen. He explains himself in this letter. It's not that he wrote them because he wanted, but he said that I have learned something from my experiences. When he had become a Christian, his circumstances had changed. But he realized that the gifts that they were so lovingly and carefully given to him was simply a proof of their love for him. But what he said, I have learned to be content. I have the spirit now that says that I am sufficient. I have enough of what God has given me. This goes back to his decision, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, to give up everything he said that he had for the cause of Christ. He said he would give up things up in order to gain Christ. And so he justifies in chapter 4 the decision that was made in chapter 3 to give away all was counted as dung. He said all that he gave up was like garbage to him in exchange for the excellency of Christ. What is our attitude today? What is our disposition today about life? Things that we have. Had friends that have a car, they get a new car. But there's nothing wrong with the car that they have. Why did my another? Just because. I don't know. Well, I saw on the lot and it looked so pretty and shiny down there, I decided to change. And then later on, they are complaining. They were satisfied with what they already had, what God had blessed them with. Let me tell you another story. I have four sisters. One moved to Georgia to teach. She's married now, and she's about to have her first child. So you know how mothers are. Mama flew to Georgia to see about her baby. She's about to have a baby. Now, when she first lived there, not knowing anyone, she stayed with the lady. And then later on, she found a dwelling place on her own. Well, when Mama gets there, she called me and says, "Son, pray for your sister. You ought to see this dump she's living in." Because see, the house was on bricks, Mama said, and it was like 10 feet off the ground. And there was some slabs that he had to go up in order to get to the house. And she said, when she was so disappointed and disgusted, and then when my sister opened the door, she said, "Hi, Mama." Mama said, "Hi, nothing." She was there until my sister delivered, and she was okay. But Mama said, but on my way back home, she learned something. In spite of the bricks that was holding up the foundation, in spite of the slab, Mama said, "Junior, your sister was content. She didn't have much, but she was happy. About to have her first child, and she was just as content, smiling the whole time. She was happy with what she had." Mother turned over her five-page letter to thank her for the lesson that Mother had learned, because she was content. Now, see, when you're content and you go through experience in life, you know what contentment does? It humbles us. Because there are times that we are in want than the times that we have. So we're humbled by our experiences as a Christian and child of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5, talked about the Christian life and how we should live. And he says it like this: "Let your conversation," or "let your manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." The Bible says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. Our disposition, our manner of life, our conversation should be such that the world can see just how content we are with what God has given us. That particular passage refers to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 6. And then you have an assurance when we have the right disposition or attitude about it. You have an assurance here that God, in verse 5, will never leave you nor forsake you. That particular phrase of contentment from which he was borrowed by, well, really, it was a common place among the Greeks and those who were high up in society and those who were deemed to be those who were morally straight people. The Greeks had this idea of saying to be content. And so this was embraced later on by the early Christians. These were exhortations. And now the Christian folk have adopted this or borrowed this idea of being content with what you have. These exhortations fall within the general instructions concerning material possessions. Matthew chapter 6, you know the story in verses 19 through 21. Notice what Jesus said and the attitude that we ought to have today, what God has granted us with. Notice about material possessions when he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. What happens, Jesus? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and neither thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 21, stick a pin in it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know what treasure is? It's what you value most. I don't care what it is, that car. You know, Sunday morning, you see more folks cleaning their cars any time of the week. Cars are nice and shiny, aren't they? Clean, aren't they? They're looking at dust, and they'll wipe it again. They'll back up and make sure that's nothing, because that's their treasure. What is your treasure tonight? He said, well, your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know what he's teaching us? Our heart follows your treasure. The heart follows whatever it is you value the most in life. The question is tonight, what do we value most? What do we value most? Also, Ephesians 5 and verse number 3. Verse 20, chapter 5, and verse number 10, in reference to material possession, we learn the attitude that we should have as Christians and children of God. We talk about contentment. It sends a message to the world.